President Ahmadinejad urges unity among regional countries to foil enemies' plots. Iranian stem cell scientists employ nanotechnology to produce smart bandages. Bahrain intensifies severe crackdown on anti-government movement. Also tonight, Alireza Nasr Azadani wins second gold for Iran at World Taekwondo Championships. In the name of God, the compassionate and the merciful. Hi, you're watching Evening Live here on China 4 News from the capital, Tehran. It's 11 p.m. Thursday, May the 5th. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says regional countries should cooperate to foil enemies' plots by introducing the world to their rich cultures. In a meeting with the visiting chairman of Pakistan's Senate, Farooq Naik, the president added, comprehensive bilateral cooperation with Islamabad benefits both sides as they have common enemies. Ahmadinejad also said regional problems are rooted in extra-regional interventions by enemies who are worried about the influence of the Islamic culture on other nations. He added Muslim countries should come together to ensure hegemonic powers can no more sow discord among them. Later, Naik met with the Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, Saeed Jalili, who said the U.S. is seeking to extend its presence in the region by creating crisis continually. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has awarded 18 top university professors with plaques of commendations in a ceremony in Tehran. Earlier, in a separate ceremony, the president honored a number of top teachers. At the ceremony, Ahmadinejad said that the Iranian nation have the capability of building an exemplary society. Ahmadinejad added the arrogant powers are hatching various plots in the region to install governments that follow their footsteps and recognize the Zionist regime. Ahmadinejad also said the wave of the Islamic awakening in the region will certainly spell the end of the power's latest plots in the region. Ahmadinejad further said the resistance of the Iranian nation against the enemy's plots has rendered their complicated and inhumane designs a failure. He added the enemies are now seeking to unleash soft violence against the country. Scientists with Iran's Stem Cell Research Center have employed nanotechnology to produce smart bandages. The smart bandages are made up of biofriendly nanofibers which absorb infected secretions of wounds and can thereby greatly increase the pace of healing the injured tissues. The research tests for the smart pads have proved successful at the laboratory phase and clinical tests will be launched in the near future. According to the researchers, the smart bandages minimize the risk of bacterial infection of wounds as they help quicker treatment during the initial days after injury. Sara Short, the U.S. national who was arrested in Iran back in 2009, says she would not return to the country to stand her second trial due to be held on May the 11th. Short, who was freed on bail last September, said she had been diagnosed with severe depression and her return could worsen her condition. She was arrested along with two other U.S. nationals, Shane Bauer and Josh Fatale, for illegally entering Iranian territories on July 31, 2009. In Bahrain, the forces of Al-Khalifa regime and their collaborators from Saudi Arabia have ruined another Husseiniya located in the Bahraini city of Bani Jamra. Al-Khalifa loyalists have also launched a new wave of arrests, while officials said 47 physicians and nurses will be put on trial for treating injured people. This comes as people in Iran and other countries have been expressing their outrage against the crimes of Al-Khalifa and Saudi troops in Bahrain. The Manama regime has so far killed hundreds of people in the recent clashes in the country and arrested several thousand activists. Syrian artist in a statement condemned the vicious attack by some Western media targeting Syria these days. Officials believe the unrest built in Syria in recent weeks is part of the typical Western scenarios, particularly that of the United States, to exert pressure on Damascus and disrupt the country's national security. Hundreds of Syrian youths held demonstrations across the embassies of China and Russia to show their gratitude for adopting an upright political stance toward their country. The Interior Ministry, too, in a statement announced 361 armed men who were in custody for having hands in the recent unrest in the country have been freed. They had earlier handed themselves in to Syrian security forces. The Yemeni public continue their massive rallies in protest at unpopular President Ali Abdullah Saleh's defiant stay in power. The demonstrators repeated their demand for an end to Saleh's tenure, which has overpassed 30 years. The protesters also called for Saleh's prosecution for the death of hundreds of civilians during the demonstrations, which started in January. The popular protests in Yemen have been confronted by riot police and supporters of Saleh armed with knives and batons. The death toll in the country since the launch of the revolution has surpassed 300. With over a month of NATO's military involvement in Libya, Muammar Gaddafi's forces keep pounding desperate civilians. Shellings by loyalists to Gaddafi's regime killed five people in Misrata, wounding at least 27 on Thursday. A ship carrying hundreds of migrants and wounded civilians managed to leave the besieged city the same day and docked in the eastern city of Benghazi. In other news, the International Criminal Court has requested arrest warrants for three government insiders who were committed to killing peaceful pro-democracy demonstrators in Libya since unrest emerged in mid-February. This is while the so-called contact group in an international meeting in Rome agreed on a new fund to aid opposition fighters, promising to tap frozen assets of Muammar Gaddafi's regime. In Japan, workers entered the damaged number one reactor building at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant on Thursday. It is their first entrance since a hydrogen explosion blew the plant's roof off after the devastating March 11 earthquake and tsunami. Here is more on the story.
The general manager of plant operator TEPCO told a news conference a total of 12 workers would go in to fix the ventilation system. The workers will use protective equipment and will have only a limited time inside the building.
As for how much radiation they will be exposed to, the plan is for them to be in there for 10 minutes, and the total amount of radiation to be 3 millisieverts.
TEPCO were keen to stress there is no chance of another hydrogen explosion at the plant. Workers have been trying to fill the reactors with enough water to bring the fuel rods into a cold shutdown, in which the cooling water is below 100 degrees Celsius and the reactors are considered stable.
And now reminding you of one of the main news headlines for today, Alireza Nasr Azadani grabbed the second gold medal of Iran's team in the 20th World Taekwondo Championships in South Korea. The sporting achievement came as the Iranian athlete outpointed a Thai rival 9-3 in the final bout of the fifth weight. On his route to the final round, Nasra Zodani defeated rivals from Romania, Tajikistan, Cyprus, USA and Mali. Meanwhile in the day, Meysam Boghiri lost a semi-final fight to a South Korean opponent and set it for the bronze medal in the first weight class. Veteran taekwondokai Yusuf Karami notched up 3 wins and powered into the semi-final round of the seventh weight competitions. The Beach Kabaddi Presidential Cup of Iran reached the final stage. In the first semi-final match, Isarov Gorgan beat Takhti of Tehran 47-26 and advanced to the finals. Meanwhile, Jazinak of Sistan scored 48 points over Lorestan, who collected 32 points. 26 teams were present for the competitions, which were held in the north-central city of Semnan. The top 10 finishers will be qualified for the first edition of Iran Beach Kabaddi Super League. And now look at some other stories in brief. Marking the International Midwife Day, an award ceremony was held for a number of top midwives at the nationwide hospitals and health service centers. Addressing the gathering in Tehran, Health Minister Marzieh Vahid Dastjerdi announced that the fatality rate for pregnant women in Iran has slumped to 22.5 cases per 100,000, which ranks Iran third in that respect. She further said plans are afoot to lower the rate down to 15 under the fifth national development plan. The Zionist regime of Israel has confiscated $100 million of tax belonging to the Palestinian Authority in reaction to the recent agreement between the Palestinian movements Hamas and Fatah. The punitive measures against the Fatah-led authority, which goes against former commitments of the Zionist regime to Fatah, has the backing of the United States. The regime has blocked Palestinians' tax income twice in the past, when Hamas gained a crucial election victory and when the former Palestinian Authority leader Yasser Arafat was under virtual house arrest in his West Bank compound by Zionist forces. At least 20 people were killed in separate explosions across Iraq in a series of attacks targeting security forces. A suicide blast in the Iraqi city of Hella killed 15 and injured another 65. Most of the victims were policemen. The bomber also died in the blast. Meanwhile, at least 2 security officers were killed in a bombing in the district of Tikrit. Pakistani people once again in recent days took to the streets to call for withdrawal of foreign troops from the region. Chanting anti-US slogans, protesters in the capital city of Karachi also denounced the presence of international troops in Afghanistan and Iraq. They further criticized double standard policies of the US and certain Western countries toward the ongoing development in North Africa and the Middle East. The demonstrators also said that presence of US forces in the region has no justifiable reason now that Osama bin Laden is dead. Well, that's all for this edition of IRM English News. Thanks for tuning in. Where the report is up next. Goodbye.